Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, as we always do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Easter. Notice it's not after Easter. You celebrate for 50 days, brothers and sisters. So often we, okay, Easter's over. The day after Easter, well, Easter's over. No, the season of Easter has just begun. The Lord would be lavish with you if you come to him and say, increase my faith, increase my hope, increase my love. Let the power of your resurrection grow in me. May I depend more and more on you. Give me the wisdom that I need to live a life worthy of you. Give me a love for my brothers and sisters, especially those in difficulty. Give me love for my family and my friends. Lord, I want to follow you more closely. Help me. Just pray that way. You can put it in your own words, but pray that way. Pray what's real in you. And God will hear every word of every prayer. You can count on that. The first reading for this Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Easter, is taken from Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 31. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. And then Barnabas took charge of him and brought him to the apostles, and he reported to them how he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him. Can you imagine? And how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. He moved about freely with them in Jerusalem. He spoke out boldly in the name of the Lord. He also spoke and debated with the Hellenists, but they tried to kill him. And when the brethren learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him on his way to Tarsus. Saul would not be quiet. He would not be quiet. And when he tries to join the disciples, they're afraid of him. they can hardly believe he's a disciple. So it takes some time. And it's hard on both sides. Paul, who's really been converted, who experienced an incredible conversion, I'm sure felt badly that people didn't believe him. On the other hand, people are very cautious because he was going around killing Christians. You'd be a little cautious to say he's turned over a new leaf, or he's picked up a new slate or something. You're dubious. You're doubtful. But it also says, even at that time, the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up. It walked in the fear of the Lord. That fear of the Lord means respect, that you put God's word first in your life, God's commandments first in your life. That's fear of the Lord. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. So you have a time here where Saul has experienced this remarkable conversion, but people are pretty dubious. People are, I don't know, because he was arresting, he was imprisoning people for their belief in Christ. And now he appears to be one of them. What a time that must have been for people. You really had to beg God to help. You had to beg for God's wisdom, because it was humanly overwhelming that someone they saw die on the cross really was raised from the dead. And the people that had betrayed him, some of the very people who had betrayed him, were now his disciples. They loved him, and they spoke with great faith. They knew that some of these men had turned away from Paul. And now they're turning toward him. The people are scratching their heads, and they're confused. What is the truth? What is God about? And so you hear so much in the Acts of the Apostles, those stories of how they began to convince the people that Jesus was the Christ. Let's take a look at the reading from the letter of St. John, chapter 3, verses 18 to 24. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. It's an important thing. Don't just say the words, but let us love in deed and in truth. Now, this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before him in whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. And the way that we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. The Holy Spirit is God's presence within you. How many times have I said, do you understand you're a tabernacle? In a very real way, you belong to God by baptism. Think about that. And the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. I've often spoken about this passage, but it's so hard for us. We start to follow the Lord. We're so excited. We want to do everything we can for him, and then we run into trouble. We endure some personal suffering, perhaps physically or in relationships, or sudden deaths of people, or people who betray us. And we encounter those things and we think, oh, things were better when I wasn't following God. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't take care of me. That's the way the enemy can get in and lie to you. Let me explain. Jesus says here, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit. So we need to bear fruit, or he lops us off the vine. It's true. It's true. So you simply go to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I am at your service. How do you want to use me? See what happens. Now, this parable says he takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes. So he lops off branches. If you're not choosing to follow the Lord, you're not choosing to live out your baptism and your confirmation and the Eucharist, you're not willing to live as a disciple of Christ, it says here that he'll just cut you off. But, and here's the point about the cross, but even if it is good and you are good and your branch, so to speak, on the vine is beginning to bear fruit, you can see it. You can see all the clusters of grapes, so to speak, to use the analogy that's here in the gospel. But all of a sudden things happen to you and you say, wait a minute, I'm serving God. Why is this happening to me? Why am I failing at this? Why is this going wrong? You know what it is, brothers and sisters? The Lord is pruning you so that you can bear more fruit, so that the fruit you produce will be greater. So if you're doing things, you think you're doing good things, and suddenly people don't want to use you in that, or you make a mistake and people say you can't be trusted, you just, who knows, your health fails you, something happens, and you just feel like nothing's worthwhile. Since I started to follow God, I have more trouble than I had before in my life. I'm going back to my own way. Don't do that. God is pruning you so that you may bear more fruit. Trust him. He's pruning sometimes your pride, sometimes your selfishness, sometimes your jealousy or your envy, the sins that get in our way. And he has to prune us so that the fruit will be good fruit. The fruit will give glory to God. The fruit will bear abundant, more fruit for those who come after you. You see, God's plan, brothers and sisters, is so big that you can't even begin to imagine it. Really. It's huge. It's infinite. And he will take every soul that's willing to give themselves over to him. He wants to take every soul and refine you, purify you. That's where the suffering comes in. But so that you may bring glory to the Father, that you may save many other people. Look at this passage again. I love this. John 15, 1-8. Read it over many times. I'll pick up where I was. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. We have to keep up our relationship with God day in and day out. It's not a once a month or twice a year connection that we make. It's daily. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. Do you notice that? Nothing. No exceptions. We can't bear the fruit for the kingdom of God that God wants us to bear, that will bring us joy and delight beyond measure. But we have a hard time trusting God. So we go with him for a little while, and then we drop off. We start up again and we go a little more, and then it's too much, it's too hard. And we drop off again. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. And as I've often said, nothing means nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. If you say, no, I don't want any more of God, and oh, you might feel a sense of freedom. I don't want to pay any attention. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm just going to do my own thing. And there's a little uplift that comes from, okay, I'm free of all that. But brothers and sisters, Scripture does say anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. You can always repent and turn around. Do it before it's too late. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, if you live in me, and my words live in you or remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. But here's the point, brothers and sisters. He wants you to bear much fruit according to his plan. That's where you're going to bear the fruit, according to his plan. That you're obedient to him as his son or daughter, as his disciple. That, brothers and sisters, is going to lead you to bear abundant fruit, not only for now, but for all eternity. May God bless you. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.